Proverbs 15.
God doesn't miss a thing. A gentle response diffuses anger, but a sharp tongue kindles a temper fire. Knowledge flows like a spring water from the wise. Fools are leaky faucets, dripping nonsense. God doesn't miss a thing. He's alert to good and evil alike. Kind words heal and help. Cutting words wound and maim. Moral dropouts won't listen to their elders. Welcoming correction is a mark of good sense. The lives of God-loyal people flourish. A misspent life is soon bankrupt. Perceptive words spread knowledge. Fools are hollow. There's nothing to them. God can't stand pious poses, but he delights in genuine prayers. A life frittered away disgusts God. He loves those who run straight for the finish line. It's a school of hard knocks for those who leave God's path, a dead-end street for those who hate God's rules. Even hell holds no secrets from God. Do you think he can't read human hearts? Life ascends to the heights. Know-it-alls don't like being told what to do. They avoid the company of wise men and women. A cheerful heart brings a smile to your face. A sad heart makes it hard to get through the day. An intelligent person is always eager to take in more truth. Fools feed on fast foods, fads, and fancies. A miserable heart means a miserable life. A cheerful heart fills the day with song. A simple life in the fear of God is better than a rich life with a ton of headaches. Better a bread crust shared in love than a slab of prime rib served in hate. Hot tempers start fights. A calm, cool spirit keeps the peace. The path of lazy people is overgrown with briars, the diligent walk down a smooth road. Intelligent children make their parents proud. Lazy students embarrass their parents. The empty-headed treat life as a plain thing. The perceptive grasp its meaning and make a go of it. Refuse good advice and watch your plans fail. Take good counsel and watch them succeed. Congenial conversation, what a pleasure. The right word at the right time, beautiful. Life ascends to the heights for the thoughtful. It's a clean about face from descent into hell. God smashes the pretensions of the arrogant. He stands with those who have no standing. God can't stand evil scheming, but he puts words of grace and beauty on display. A greedy and grasping person destroys community. Those who refuse to exploit live and yet and let live. Prayerful answers come from God-loyal people. The wicked are sowers of abuse. God keeps his distance from the wicked. He closely attends to the prayers of the God-loyal people. A twinkle in the eye means joy in the heart. A good news makes you feel fit as a fiddle. Listen to good advice if you want to live well. An honoured guest among wise men and women. An undisciplined, self-willed life is puny. An obedient, God-willed life is spacious. Fear of God is a school in skilled living. First you learn humility, then you experience glory.
So the theme from Proverbs 15 is fit as a fiddle, verse 30. You feeling fit as a fiddle this morning? Thumbs up, nod, yes, you feeling as fit as a fiddle? Yeah, Derek's doing his morning exercise. He's been for his 25-mile run this morning. So that's great. Fit as a fiddle. That comes from verse 30. Just as in chapter 14, I just want to draw two themes from chapter 15. And it's what comes out of our mouths and what is the condition of our hearts. What comes out of our mouths? Verse 1 says, a gentle response diffuses anger. Verse 4 says, kind words heal and help. Verse 7, perceptive words spread knowledge and congenial conversation, what a pleasure. And then verse 23 goes on to say, the right word at the right time, how beautiful. And verse 26, he puts words of grace and beauty on display. Words are powerful. The contrast that Solomon brings from what comes out of our mouths is either these wonderful verses that I've just mentioned of healing and help and a beautiful word at the right time, in the right season, or in contrast, verse 1 says, a sharp tongue kindles a temper fire. And in verse 4, it says, cutting words wound and maim. Just read you a few little quotes on the power of words. These are all by unknown writers. Be careful with your words. Once they are said, they can only be forgiven, but not forgotten. Be careful with your words. Once they are said, they can only be forgiven and not forgotten. And I think many of us have probably journeyed that. There's people that we've had to forgive because of what they said, but maybe our memory still has those words that particular person said. Somebody else has said, one kind word can change someone's entire day. And that's true, isn't it? One kind word can change someone's entire day. The tongue has no bones, but is strong enough to break a heart. So be careful with your words. And then this one, I quite like this one. Don't mix bad words with your bad mood. Not that any of you would ever, ever, ever be in a bad mood. I know that you're always happy and pleasant and smiley and never, ever, ever in a bad mood. Gwen, don't look like that, please. Don't mix bad words with your bad mood. You'll have many opportunities to change your mood, but you'll never get the opportunity to replace the words you spoke. There's just some quotes that people have put together. What does the Bible say? Well, James, if you're familiar with James, there's quite a lot to say about what comes out of our mouths and what should and shouldn't come out of our mouths. James says it only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. James goes on to say, this is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God, our Father. But with the same tongue, we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Cursings and blessings out of the same mouth. This should not be so. And so we have to make that choice, don't we? How do we speak? How do we communicate? And really the biggest challenge of this is not so much church, but our own home, with our own close family members. It's really the words that we use with the people close to us who really know us. Either the Solomon says in this chapter, that God doesn't miss a thing. So God doesn't listen to the words that we use in church. God listens to the words that we use at home and with our family and with our friends. God hears the words when we're in a good mood, and God hears the words that we speak when we're in a poor mood and when life is tough. And we need to make sure that our words bring healing and not hurt to people's lives. But just to move on then to the second theme that I want to draw out of this, and the two link up really, because it's what is the condition of our heart? What is the condition of your heart? Verse 13 says, a cheerful heart brings a smile to your face, but a sad heart makes it hard to get through the day. Cheerful heart brings a smile to your face. Paul prayed for the Ephesians, and he said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. A cheerful heart brings a smile to the face. Verse 15 says, a miserable heart means a miserable life. A cheerful heart fills the day with song. Cheerful heart fills the day with song. Now, I know that we're going through tough times, but with every situation that we face, there is a song that God can place in our hearts that will bring a smile to our face. We don't smile at what's happening. What's happening is absolutely horrendous. But God gives us a song to face the challenges, because we need to be strong in heart that we can help others. A miserable heart means a miserable life. A cheerful heart fills the day with song. And again, Paul reminds us, don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, huge draughts of Him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God, the Father, in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ. That's the Message version of Ephesians 19:20. Sing praises over everything. And we can give thanks to God in these tough times because God is faithful. And God will place a song in our hearts. There's a lovely verse here towards the bottom that says about the twinkle in the eye, a hope or plan that God has placed in our heart. A twinkle in the eye means joy in the heart. And good news makes you feel fit as a fiddle. That's verse 30. A twinkle in the eye means joy in the heart. And good news makes you feel fit as a fiddle. What is the spiritual condition of our hearts this morning? It's good to have a physically fit heart, but we need a spiritually fit heart also. A twinkle in the eye, that's an old expression, isn't it, that some of us are familiar with. It says it's a facial expression that denotes happiness, amusement, or knowledge of a secret, a hope or plan that is not yet in existence. And we have this little phrase or saying, don't we? You were not even a twinkle in your mother's eye when that photo was taken. You familiar with that saying? You were not even a twinkle in your mother's eye when that photo was taken. And in one sense, you and I were a twinkle in God's eyes before we were reborn. We were a twinkle in God's eye. It's a lovely thought, isn't it? We were a twinkle in God's eye. God knew before we became a Christian that we would become His sons and daughters. We were a twinkle in God's eye, and we need to have a twinkle in our eye also. May the words that come from our mouths, not just in these tough times, bring healing and hope to people. And may our heart be full of cheer as we think on God's faithfulness, speaking words of healing and help to those around us, having that cheerful disposition because we trust in God. Said the other day, I kind of limit how much news I listen to at the moment because you can feel your spirits sinking. We need to have an understanding. We need to know what's happening. We need to listen to the facts and the figures. But then we pray into those situations. We pray for the people who are grieving. We pray for the frontline workers. And because of that song that is in our hearts, we bring hope and comfort to those who are suffering. So I trust that today we'll be all as fit as fiddles, because there will be a song of praise on our hearts to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.